Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We got Ryan Clark stopping by in about 30 minutes live from LSU's Pro Day, where we saw Ja'Marr Chase and plenty of other future pros balling out there. Our first look at Ja'Marr Chase in about a year. So we'll rank wide receivers in about five, 10 minutes here.
The top
The top four wide receivers heading into this year's NFL draft. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egbuamoke. And Jhené, I'm excited to do all of that because it's actual sports. Like I was saying to someone today, pro days we know to not take too much stock in, but it's still people on the field actually doing stuff. Like, it's exciting.
It's so funny how you told us your pro day experience where you drank so much water trying to get to that huge mark, right? And, you know, as a basketball player, I always say, you know, we inflate our height a little bit, right? What football players do to weight, basketball players do it to height. I had someone tell me that he has grown an inch and a half by going to a chiropractor, Junior.
Yeah, God. So I have a question here. My follow-up on that is, how tall is this person claiming to be?
If you listen to First Take, Her Take, it's Mr. Miami.
Oh, dear God. All right, so for anyone that's unfamiliar with all this, this is how this show tends to work. Jhené and Golic Jr. gets a version of Jhené Egbuamoke, our esteemed NBA analyst and great radio host, that's a little more buttoned up here, that tries to just get up to the ledge, but not quite go over. If you download First Take, Her Take, which drops every Wednesday, Jhené, Kimberly Martin, and Charlie Arnold, this is where Jhené goes the full extra step over the ledge, where all of a sudden she starts dropping all these bombs about her personal life, her relationship life, that we get during the breaks, but not on air because some people might be listening to the show.
Yeah, someone watches the show. Oh, gosh, and I'm sure he's probably watching now.
And now
so my cover is blown.
And now he's going to go listen to the podcast, and all of this is going to get more interesting. I'm sorry, the read was up on the screen, and I was forced to do it in that spot, so I don't know what you want from me.
No, it's perfect. Two for one. But, yeah, I thought it was interesting. You know, when you talk about pro days and, like, don't read too much into it. Like, there's so many different things that athletes do with height.
Jhené, I mean, the amount of guys I saw learning all these height tricks, how to get your back up in the right spot and make sure you're inhaling during the right time when they're taking, like,
interesting.
The pro day is people going above and beyond. And I'm not talking about the Ja'Marr Chases of the world, like the guy that we're going to see and talk to Ryan Clark about from LSU's pro day, or Devontae Smith or Jaylen Waddle. Like, not those guys. I'm talking about the guys like me that were trying to see, hey, can I be like a 6th, 7th round undrafted free agent type dude? You're going for every little bit you can.
Very true, Junior. But yeah, I just spilled my own tea. Jeez, man, I save it for the pod.
Remember, First Take, Her Take. You can download it every Wednesday wherever you get your podcast. You can also get Jhené and Golic Jr. while you're there, and so you can see the two versions of Jhené that you get on these podcasts. It is very, very exciting. Now, Jhené and Golic Jr. is here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and the aforementioned Jhené Egbuamoke. And Jhené, yesterday got a little messy during our show. Now, you weren't here with us. Shea Cornett was kind enough to fill in. But during the show yesterday, we started to see some of the screen grabs coming up that were reportedly between Michael Rapoport and Kevin Durant, the star for the Brooklyn Nets. And in these screenshots, it's accusing Kevin Durant of threatening Michael Rapoport, as well as using language that in some instances is homophobic. Certain things baked into that, Jhené, that were startling to read and see. And again, they're accusations, they're allegations in all these spots. We understand that. But these screen grabs alleging this, Jhené, from Kevin Durant are something that may actually end up getting him in trouble with the league, I feel like. Like, Jhené, based on what you've seen and read about this, we haven't heard anything officially yet, but do you think this is the kind of instance where, because of the language used, the NBA might get involved in something?
Yes, because we've seen two instances very recently, not trying to equate what happened to Myers Leonard, but like something that an athlete thought was a little bit more private become public, but still it's your platform that these things are happening on, right? For Kevin Durant, clearly those were private messages, but once Michael Rapoport posts them publicly, it now enters the realm of public discourse. And also now fans have to see, like, will the NBA hold a player to a standard of what he said, which was, like you said, homophobic, misogynistic in his rhetoric? Now, there's context to it, right? Like Michael Rapaport even said, hey, this is someone that I thought I was cool with. I was friends with. And I called this person out for being sensitive, which we all know this is something that a lot of people say Kevin Durant is at times. But like, we also know he's grown where he owns it now. Like, he's sort of that troll of all trolls. He's not afraid to clap back at people. So this was just one of those instances that went way too far. As we all saw, it wasn't just that he said a response. It was how he said it and the amount of responses that sort of caught a lot of people off guard. While Kevin Durant was defending himself as a person, Michael Rapaport also now has been someone that has been sort of victimized in this, even though he incited it, right? Like he started the criticism. So it's tough to weigh who was right, who was wrong, where I think in reality, Junior, both are wrong. You know, Kevin Durant went a little overboard, even though it was private, to the point where now it's going to have to be held to the league and maybe probably say like, hey, there's going to be a fine coming your way because we can't have our product being, you know, tampered or like, you know, held down by what you said, even if it was private. You know, it's just super complicated. No one wins. And even by trying to say, like, look what this guy did to me, well, you stepped into the arena of criticizing him. It just made it just horrible to on all parts.
Chanae, I don't look at this as right and wrong, though. I look at this as who has more to lose in this spot, and it's unequivocally Kevin Durant. And that's the thing in all of this. Like, we can talk about Kevin Durant's online presence, which, quite honestly, was something that I think a lot of people had moved on from the old criticisms of Kevin Durant with the burner account, those kind of things. We had gotten so close to just being about the basketball. And like you said, seeing him pop off on Twitter every once in a while, seeing him clap back on people in a way that most people looked at and said, man, that feels relatable. That feels a little more above board than what we've been used to from Kevin Durant. This crosses a whole bunch of lines, and in this spot, it's not to legislate right or wrong or to absolve Michael Rapaport from anything he's done before or after this. It's to look and say, if you're Kevin Durant, at some point, you got to realize you got more to lose in these spots and got to act accordingly. Like, perfect example, like when I was at Notre Dame, I got arrested for minor intoxication my freshman year. There were about 40 student athletes from Notre Dame that did. The next day on ESPN, two names ran on the bottom line, mine and the other Notre Dame football player that were a part of that. And I was reminded in that moment of what I had known all along, that because of my last name and because of what I did, there was always going to be a little more at stake. You were always going to have a little bit more to lose than most people in certain situations. And so in this spot, especially if it's going to end up costing you money in this, it's a reminder of, all right, where you are here, there is no two ways about it. This is punching down if you're Kevin Durant. And if it's going to adversely affect the way people perceive you, that at some point, it's not worth it. I know that's hard because, Chanae, I know I get tweets all the time like this. I know you and most women in this industry get them 1,000 times worse and all that, and it's hard to stop sometimes, but it's also something that's not worth shooting yourself in the foot over.
Exactly. Once you start compromising all of the work that you have done, you've gotten yourself to a point where we say every time, you know, you step on the court, you're good for it. Like, this is a man that will dictate who wins an NBA championship. This is a man who a lot of people were throwing words around and criticizing. You know, there was the cupcake stuff, and then, you know, the Warriors became victims and all that type of stuff. But now we're celebrating. You know, you don't want to risk all of that for, you know, Michael Rapaport and his criticisms. Like you said, there's levels to this. I just think big picture, if I'm the NBA and this was such a big discourse, I would try to, at least whether it is talking to the Brooklyn Nets, having that conversation as an organization, as a franchise, saying like, hey, like these type of public things don't help anyone. Even if you think that you are defending yourself and this was done privately, like there might have to be something so that we dissuade this type of behavior from happening again. Just because, again, it's not that he was just, you know, defending himself to another guy. It's the fact that what he said now can be open to interpretation where people can say, I don't root for this or I don't like this based on, you know, the homophobic comments or the misogynistic ways he was coming back. So like you're opening yourself up for too many, you know, too many criticisms there. And it was all based on something he could have just left on read.
Yeah, or just chosen different words, right? Like, that's the other part of this, is this all came off a little bit too smooth. If you just MF this guy up and down, I think most of us are going to be adults enough to say, all right, this is something that can happen every once in a while. But the word choice here matters, and you're right, especially when it comes to, borrow an NFL term, damaging the shield, damaging the reputation of the league, and offending people that are potentially fans in that spot.
It's crazy, Junior, because I said in our pre-show meeting, this, like, it's weird that the NBA sort of needs a little bit of the NFL where, you know, you can't just have players just jump on limbs, and then now it's damaging the product. And so we've seen two really crazy cases of it in recent months. And this is something I think that the NBA will absolutely like look to address, whether it's at the team level or having conversations with Kevin for his benefit.
Completely agree. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. At Chiney, at Mike Golic Jr. You can always tweet us there while you're listening to the show. And coming up next, before we head down to Baton Rouge to check in on a Monster Pro Day featuring the likes of Ja'Marr Chase, the star wide receiver from LSU, we got to figure out which of these guys coming first off the board. Let's rank them when it comes to potential NFL wide receivers, and let's do it next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Today in Golic Jr., the podcast.
I know we're not supposed to put a ton of stock in them. I understand it, but you cannot convince me that sitting around in the middle of the day watching pro days isn't close to Valhalla. And we had a whole boatload of them today. Kyle Pitts in Florida were working out today. Notre Dame, you had guys like Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah could be one of the top linebackers taken in the draft. Liam Eichenberg, Ian Book. And then we head down to the bayou.
Oh, he's finally leaving.
Yeah, see, I can say, Ian Book, who has basically been a Syracuse point guard at Notre Dame, holds about every Notre Dame record a quarterback can have right now. Yes, Janae is finally going
pro. Oh, so it's official. He's gone now. Okay, got it.
It is official in this spot here. And we wish Ian well. He has a stellar Notre Dame career and made a lot of us very, very proud. But there was also a look at a wide receiver we haven't seen in a while. Ja'Marr Chase was at LSU Pro Day today. We're going to talk to Ryan Clark in about 5 minutes here. He is down live at LSU. We'll get the inside scoop on how Ja'Marr Chase looked. But before we did that, Janae, it's getting close to the draft right now. I'm getting very excited, deep diving into draft prep. And so figures it's about time we bust out some rankings, bust out some lists, and see where we're at with some of these wide receivers. Let's rank the top four wide receivers heading into the NFL draft.
Give it to me.
A-list with no limits.
In the kitchen, cooking, good Lord.
As long as it stops at 4.
The heat is on the stove.
444.
For real, though.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
All right, the top four draft-eligible wide receivers heading into 2021. You ready, Janae?
Let's go. I'm ready. I'm excited.
Let's kick it off, Cliff.
Number four
went Jalen Waddle out of the University of Alabama. We know he was actually expected to be the number one wide receiver for so many people before the injuries cut his season short. We saw him return for the title game. He cleared the way for Devontae Smith to go and win that Heisman. But, Janae, you still look at a guy, unbelievable player in his own right. In his college career, over the course of 19 games, Jalen Waddle averaged 11.38 yards after contact per reception.
What?
Freak show kind of numbers for that
Wait,
guy.
What?
Yes, after the catch in that spot. So Jalen Waddle going to bring a lot to a team. Was weird watching him have to limp around in that game.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Yes, in the last 2 years, 10th in yards after catch per reception in college football. Unbelievable stats from an unbelievable wideout. Let's go to number three, Cliff.
Number three,
I had to get messy. I can't not put him on this list somewhere, and I know it's a wide receiver list, but I'm still going to sneak Kyle Pitts in here anyway, just so we get to talk about it.
I love it, though.
This absolute mutant of a Florida tight end, Janae. We know Mel Kiper, I believe him, has mocked him as the second best player on his big board going into this draft. A tight end for the ages. I was talking about this with Mina Kimes and Dan Orlovsky the other day. I can't remember the last time a tight end got this kind of buzz coming out of college. I mean, you had guys drafted high like Vernon Davis, Kellen Winslow Jr., but I don't know if any of them carried this sort of weight
with them. Oh, my gosh. Look, I'm watching on ESPN Plus Kyle Pitts Pro Day. I get what you're saying. This is Valhalla.
He is different, Janae. Going to make some team very, very happy. And so I know it's a wide out list, but we had to get some Kyle Pitts love.
That's okay. You love chaos anyways. It's all good.
You know this. Number two, our favorite.
Number two.
This is where I got to spot Ja'Marr Chase in this list, Janae, the guy whose pro day we were all talking about today, who opted out and didn't play in the 2020 season with LSU. But during that 2019 national title season, was the best receiver on a team that included Justin Jefferson, who was damn near the best receiver in the NFL as a rookie last year for the Minnesota Vikings. Ja'Marr Chase has been sensational, owns an F. Listen to this one. His yards per reception now, we'll talk about for him. 21.19, I believe the highest in SEC history at that number. He held about damn near every SEC single season receiving record until this guy showed up, Cliff.
Number one.
And I know Ja'Marr Chase has been the guy for a lot of people, but Chinee, for me, Devonta Smith. I remember cutting on the tape last year at Alabama when we had guys like Jerry Jeudy out there on the field, when we had Henry Ruggs out there in addition to him and Jalen Waddle. And I said, there's something about this dude that just moves different. I thought he was the best receiver on the field then, and a Heisman Trophy later, I have not seen much to really deter myself. As I mentioned, the single season leader in receiving yards in a season in the SEC, and more. Chinee, he's been electric. He's your reigning Heisman Trophy winner. He's my number one wide receiver heading into the draft.
We would have destroyed all the records if he played the full national championship game. And my mom doesn't say much about sports, but after that game, she was like, Devonta Smith stole the show. I was like, Mama, what you talking about? Okay, talk your ish. Big question, though, here, Junior. Does his frame worry you, which seems to worry a number of people? I think 6'1 or so, 175. I know that's light for a receiver.
And it's amazing, Chinee. I was talking about this earlier. Was on Highly Questionable with Bomani Jones and Katie Nolan, which was awesome. But I was talking to Bomani Jones about this because when you look at Devonta Smith on the field, I never watching an Alabama game thought this was a slight wide receiver, a guy in the build of more of a DeSean Jackson than, let's say, a Calvin Johnson or anything like that. And he pointed out, Spencer Hall, great college football writer, always said, wide receivers at Alabama are all kind of built like that, where they've got that same skinny frame, but they're all rocked up. They're all big, strong bodies. I saw Devonta Smith go over the field and catch balls. I saw him in plenty of different situations. So, Chinee, I worry about that a lot less because the guy I see on the field plays a lot bigger than that number looks.
Lean and mean.
All the way through. So, Jalen Waddle, Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase, and Devonta Smith.
Well done.
In there. That's our top four list of receivers in here. And, yes, I know they're not all receivers. Please spare me that one. Any fans, listen. We'll talk at Chinee, at Mike Golic Jr. if you want to tweet me. Tell us the wide receiver we're missing. Because I think this is a class that kind of drops off after a certain point. Last year's class was marked by depth. This year, about top-end prowess. But coming up next, let's check in on the top end of that. We had shirts off, 40s down in Baton Rouge this morning, and Ryan Clark was there to get it all recorded for us. We'll talk to him about that next after this word from 303 Products.
Love that. Can't wait. Now, this is a show that loves to give you warnings for trains and for cars. Have you ever seen a vehicle at a stoplight or parking lot that just seems to stand out because of its deep mirror-like paint? You're probably thinking you don't have the money or the time to spend to do that on your own vehicle. Think again. New 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating is the revolutionary new product that provides the same level of protection and shine that you get from a professional detail, but can be done by yourself in your own garage. All you have to do is simply spray it on, let it haze, and then buff it off. You'll have up to a year of paint protection in addition to that jaw-dropping depth and gloss that you will have so many people admiring your ride on its next drive. So, you know, the coolest thing is that it helps repel dust and reduces water spotting to help make it look cleaner between washes. You can also use it on your car's glass, on your car's wheels, on your car's trim, pretty much put it anywhere. And it's now available at Advance Auto Parts and Pep Boys locations nationwide, or you can just learn more by visiting 303-303-radio.com. Now, we just ranked them. Now let's see and hear from them. Time to go live to LSU Pro Day. I guess it's called Valhalla now. Right after this on Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live. Come watch us on ESPN Plus.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. You know anything about this show? When something happens in the NCAA, when Mark Emmer opens his mouth, when the NCAA gets taken to court, you know we're going to have something to say about it. We'll have one and done in about 10 minutes here as we had all of that bundled into one glorious ball this morning. Mike Golic Jr., Chinee Agwumike, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. But before we get to that, we did have a whole bunch of pro days going on, and maybe none more exciting than the one that happened down at LSU. And for more on that and what we saw today from guys like LSU wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase, we go to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to Ryan Clark, our ESPN NFL analyst, proud LSU alum and Super Bowl champion. Ryan, you were down at the pro day today for LSU. That's probably that's wrapped up at this point. And when it comes to Ja'Marr Chase, a guy that we didn't see in the 2020 season, what did you take away from today? What did you see from him?
You know, Mikey, when you think about a dude like opting out, right, and how that could be a bad thing, how people could see that you don't want to compete or think that or make that narrative, then you say, okay, what is he going to show up like? He showed up at 201, bro, and ripped up, low body fat. He jumped 41, 11 broad, 4.38, 40, and the pass-catching drills were absolutely flawless. And you can tell he was an alpha male. And I think you have to have that awareness. You have to know that coming into this, people are going to understand you haven't done anything since September. So you need to be ready for this moment. And he absolutely was. And I think my favorite moment of the day for Ja'Marr Chase was a small moment we shared. I've known him since he was 16. He played on my 7-on-7 team in high school. And so I'm walking over because, you know, I ain't gonna lie, I was clock hustling. I'm standing behind the scouts, getting the times off their clocks and going to tell the kids what they ran. You know, I was dual threat today. I was ESPN reporter and LSU alum. And so I walk over to him and I said, I didn't say hey or nothing. I was just like 4.3 as he's walking back. And he doesn't go, okay, appreciate it. He's not, all right, that's a good time. I'll run one more. He goes, better be. Because he came in expecting to do something. He came in expecting to excel. And that's all he was there for. And he did. And after I told him he ran 4.3 and they put it up on the big screen, he put on his long sleeve shirt and he said, I'm done running for the day. And then he did the short shuttle and the L drill and all these things. And by the end of the day, you said to yourself, he's everything that the film showed and exactly what one of the wide receiver coaches told him. He's like, we knew who he was. To see the 4.3 was great. We just wanted to see him move, get around him, feel him out a little bit and know what type of person he was. And they said he was everything that they expected him to be coming into this pro day.
Oh, this is why you're so annoying, Ryan. You're so cool. I mean, 4.3 better be dropping down, clock hustling, Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, Super Bowl champ. I'm like, he can't not be cool for a second. Like, we love that, though.
I appreciate it. Hey, it's like being a Stanford alum and knowing we go into the Women's Final Four every year.
Thank you. I get it. Okay, you're right. I get it. I'll keep that same energy, Ryan. And now that you had that experience where you challenged him and it was a standard, where do you really have him ranked in this wide receiver class?
I mean, I think he's the number one overall wide receiver. I just think, you know, we got to watch him do things that we've kind of forgotten. You know, Chiney, you know, Junior, like I just remember watching him in 2019 and thinking to myself, holy crap, I've never seen anything like this. And Junior, you know, bro, like they never tried to move him away from number one coverage. When he's playing against Florida and it's C.J. Henderson, they're not trying to put him in the slot. They're not putting him in motion. They're not trying to get him on a number three. No, they were saying, you go beat C.J. Henderson. And when you're playing A.J. Terrell in the national championship, they didn't move him around. They weren't trying to hide him. They said, you stand across from A.J. Terrell. We know he's going to be a first-round pick. And you go eat his face. And that's what he did. Same thing against Diggs at Alabama. And now, in hindsight, we've now learned that all of these dudes are now the best cornerbacks on their NFL teams. And also, the guy that was doing them this in 2019, bro, was 19 years old, y'all. He wasn't one of these super seniors, right? Or he wasn't one of these dudes, you know, like when you're 16, your senior year in high school, he's 19. He was 16 then. And he was 19 when he was playing against these grown men who are now stars in the NFL. And so, you know, I've always been impressed with him. I've always been impressed with how serious he is, how mature he is about going about his work. And today was just the cherry on the top, you know, just saying, you know what, I am that dude. So I think he's the first wide receiver off the board. And his true competition isn't another wide receiver to me. It's Kyle Pitts, who also had his pro day today in Florida.
You're right, an impressive offensive weapon in that spot. And for Ja'Marr Chase, there was something to go out here and remind people after a year of not seeing him. But, Ryan, I want to talk to you about a guy that we did get to see this last season. Justin Fields played, albeit in a shortened season in the Big Ten. He played in some massive games towards the end of the season, especially that gritty game against Clemson. And yet it feels like we haven't talked about him with this top group of quarterbacks. Are you surprised by this, or is there something you've seen from Justin Fields that would warrant him being ranked behind Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence as much as he's been?
You know what? I'm surprised by it. I've always been a huge Justin Fields fan. And I can be honest, I'm a relationship person, and sometimes I get biased because I know people or they do things for me. He was a quarterback on my 7-on-7 team at the opening, and he was absolutely phenomenal. He probably threw 200 passes, and maybe one of them wasn't complete. And I played against Trevor Lawrence that week, but I remember leaving because everybody going into the week talked about Trevor Lawrence and saying, well, Justin Fields is as good as that dude. And then I remember him battling with Fromm in Georgia and watching Fromm play and being like, was I wrong about him? Like, is Justin Fields not the dude I thought he was? And then he goes to Ohio State the next year as a runner-up to the Heisman. And, you know, 50 touchdowns total, one interception. I said, oh, no, I was right. And so then coming into this year, it almost seemed like people were trying to pick him apart. You know, and they point to Indiana, who was exotic and a top-5 defense and very good, and Northwestern, who was one of the best defenses in the Big Ten and one of the best defenses in the country when he didn't play well. And then, so we all forgot what he looked like on the same field with Trevor Lawrence. Because if I'm watching that night, the dude that played in red was for sure better than the dude that played in orange, but I guess that game doesn't count for some reason. I'm a huge Justin Fields fan. I think if you took Dak Prescott and you put him in a DVD player and you sped him up and pressed fast forward, then you have Justin Fields. If you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, you say, hell, I'd take that. He can throw it farther. He can run it faster. He's a little bit taller and a little bit bigger. And so I think when you really start to break down the film, people are nitpicking it apart. And if I'm him, I'm excited. I'm happy. I am praying that Zach Wilson is drafted by the Jets, because no matter what you think about going third, the San Francisco 49ers are the sweet spot. They got Kyle Shanahan. They got Trent Williams. They got George Kittle. They got Ayuk and Samuel. And if you can be anywhere as a young quarterback, I believe that's the place you want to be. And if he does land there, I think we'll be talking about Justin Fields as a Pro Bowl, all-pro caliber player, and eventually a Super Bowl champion.
That's the great stuff you can get if you follow him at RealClark25 on Twitter. Check him out all over ESPN and NFL Live and doing a great job covering LSU's Pro Day today. RC, we appreciate the time, man. We'll
Thanks,
talk to you soon,
RC.
All right?
Yeah, you guys be cool.
Ryan Clark, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline there. You're right, Janae. Ryan's one of those people that bothers me so much here because he is so effortlessly cool, and everything he does around this building, it's remarkable.
Even his dismount. Y'all be cool. No, we will. We'll try. Like, we'll try to match your cool. No, we're really trying here.
He trying hard. Like, he's got the dismount line. Like, I every day finish this show and have no idea what to say, and Ryan Clark just finishes a conversation.
No, Junior, I know you do a lot of hits for affiliates and stuff. Like, what's your dismount?
I literally just say goodbye. I'm not cool like Ryan Clark. I'm not cool enough to pull off anything else. I can't say ciao. I can't say peace. I can't say, all right, I'll see you guys later or anything. I can't say bet. Like,
I say, like, hey, it's been real. Like, yeah, that's what's good. Hey, family, appreciate y'all.
And again, like, that sounds normal and cool coming from you, but all the stuff I just said sounded terrible.
We'll work on this in the break, ladies and gentlemen.
We got to figure something. Janae's trying to figure out how she can dress me up and take me out in public, because she's realized doing the show with me, she's got to be around me in front of some people. And so now she's trying to make sure that I don't embarrass her when we get into that company.
Yeah, we got a lot of work to do. Maybe that's why we have social distance here.
Maybe that's probably right. We do have a lot of work to do, but I can assure you, Janae, we don't have nearly as much work to do as the NCAA, because they were getting in on all fronts this morning on my timeline, and I was bada-bop-bop-bop loving it. We'll get to why next. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Nailed it.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwumike. And it happened again, Janae.
What happened?
Mark Emmert started talking again.
Oh, gosh. Not again.
President of the NCAA, Mark Emmert, started talking on a day where the NCAA was being heard in a lawsuit by the Supreme Court and all the things that were going on with that were extremely complicated in certain ways. Janae, Mark Emmert made it very easy to once again really not agree with the things that he is saying. And so you and I both know that when something happens in the world of college sports, especially when it pertains to the rights of athletes, my ears tend to start burning a little bit. The antennas start to go up, and we play the one and done sounder and let you know what's going on.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
So, Chinee, we remember how we started off March Madness, or I don't know if I can say that on the women's side because that's a thing that's solely licensed to the men's tournament, which is part of the issue in all of this. But as True. We got started with the tournaments, Chinee, Mark Emmert and the NCAA stepped in it big time. We remember the weight room fiasco with everything that went on with women's college athletics and the NCAA tournament on their side. Well, today, Wednesday, as we're getting set for the Final Four on Saturday, NCAA President Mark Emmert continued to apologize for the inequities between the men's and women's tournament, saying, quote, "We let them down," but then also adding that the women's basketball community has to determine specific improvement it wants to, quote, "pick up and run with as the sport moves forward." Yeah. If you think that sounds weird, listen to this from Carolyn Peck, our ESPN women's basketball analyst, who took a little bit of issue with Mark Emmert's apology.
First, to really say that the women need to decide which ones they want to adopt. I'll tell you, Mark Emmert, the women want to adapt all of them and just make it equitable. He sits at the top, and instead of just saying that our priority is football, is men's basketball, take care of all of your sports. That's where it starts then, and it starts with leadership, so that instead of the women are having to continually to ask, you look and see what they need and focus the concentration there. We've been asking for far too long for equitability to be there. And now, because of COVID, because it's all in one place, you see it, now you can't run from it. And right, because of social media, you're going to be exposed if you don't address the issues.
And, Janae, it seems like we're back to that place yet again where it's, all right, you have a problem for a disadvantaged group. Why don't you guys figure out how to solve it in a way that has got to be maddening to hear time and time again?
First of all, shout out to Carolyn Peck, right, for saying and speaking the truth. But this is where I just don't understand how the person in charge is not on the same page as where the game needs to go for it to be profitable in a way that you can move forward with. Like, to even identify and separate, that's the hypocrisy here. All athletes, all student athletes, we try to treat them all the same. Meanwhile, I'm going to talk to the women's game, and how can we pick up and run with these improvements so that we won't have these complaints? You're separating, you're isolating when your foundation is actually supposed to treat everyone, regardless of gender or level of play or sport, supposed to make sure everyone has the best opportunity to succeed. That's what blows my mind. And this is coming on the day where the Supreme Court arguments have been made. And it's really ironic that we've always said that the NCAA is reactive instead of being proactive. And even coming, you know, the words coming out of Mark Emmert's mouth demonstrate that after a summer and a year in which they should have known this, like all of the criticisms of pretty much these schools being on their own to have a college football season, the athletes having to stand up and put out hashtags, "We want to play," so that we can show that, all right, these, we can do it together. And now they're putting up hashtags in the middle of the NCAA tournament saying not NCAA property. And you're still behind, not up to date. And then you also say, hey, like, I'm going to talk to these athletes. Are you going to open those pathways so that you can listen and learn? Because it seems like the learning curve is hurting you and the NCAA, and everyone else is moving forward. And I say all of that to say, today's the day that the Supreme Court arguments have been made. And you see so many headlines right now, Junior. High Court, sympathetic to college athletes in NCAA dispute. And the case is not necessarily right now whether college student athletes can be paid salaries. It's more so, what can we do to help make sure that they're not behind the curve? Because guess what? Why are they behind the curve? Because the institution holds them there based on their leadership not addressing things in a way that's 2021.
It really is incredible. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We watched in real time today Mark Emmert saying this and understandably getting dragged for it, because that's what happens when Mark Emmert talks too late and too little in most instances. But then we had the NCAA versus Alston Supreme Court hearing about what the NCAA can give student athletes, the word that they made up, by the way, in these spots, what can be allowed in that spot. But I thought one of the interesting things that came up in the course of this was Justice Barrett was one of the judges poking at the NCAA argument. And this is a quote, that consumers love watching unpaid people play sports. I just want to say, lost in the sea of all of this, if that's a thing that you derive joy from, if you enjoy watching the sport in part because you know the people involved aren't making money, I could say unequivocally, you're the freaking worst. The absolute worst. If that is something that you derive joy from, I can't help you. I don't know what place of jealousy or hatred that comes from, but it ain't a place that I can identify with, and it's sure one I don't want to associate with. So you can keep that, you can hold that. I'm going to hold out hope that that is something that is a view that is held by very few people, because I want to assume the best in everybody.
Please, Lord.
Even if we know that's not always the case. But coming up next, let's get into a war of words that we saw in the NBA yesterday that leaked over to our air next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.